Beautiful. I was kidding Roseanne. I said, we had an unusual, how can I phrase this? We had an unusual person giving this week. Last week, this past week, we would come in and there were diapers out front. Adult diapers with dough in it. Money. $20 bills. Oh, there's one over there. $20 in it. There's a 50 in it.
There was a bunch of diapers thrown into the bushes. We're like, I hope they're not dirty diapers. But they were not.
I said, maybe somebody's really celebrating their new birth, you know. I mean, this is...
We come back on Saturday, and the yard man was here doing everything. And so I said, well, maybe we can just look again. Sure enough, there was some more. $50, $50, $50, $50. Like the yard man, oh, look, you get cash this time. So somebody was...
somebody had a good sense of humor. Maybe they're in drugs. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
But it's all right.
Oh, we're going to get a picture.
Oh, we got a picture. Okay.
Okay, it might look nice and young. And
it didn't break, so I guess we're okay, you know.
Yeah, I didn't like Debbie's photoshopping a while ago, but now I really like it a lot. When you photoshop those pictures, you know.
How many know God's Word is alive? Tell somebody, God's Word is alive. Let's, that's the first leadoff thing that I want to say to you. John 6:63, let's take a look at it. All right. It is the Spirit. This is Jesus speaking. He said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. The word. This is so powerful. Sometimes we just skip over words. Tell your neighbor, you can't do that. You got to focus. It says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so we can choose to receive the word of the Lord that he spoke, but it's quickened through the Holy Spirit as life for us right now. Can you say amen? Amen. So I'll give you the fill-in here. Jesus' words are alive. The Lord declares the end from the beginning. How many know that he knows the end from the beginning? He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Let's look at that one. I think it's Isaiah 46:10, yes. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. So you can bank on it that what God said, how many know he's as good as his word? Can you say amen? Let's look at another scripture that goes with this. 1 Peter 2:24, great scripture. All right. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you will be healed in the sweet by and by. No, it didn't say that, does it? By whose stripes you what? Were healed. You know, it's amazing. Just give you a little upgrade on me. The day, it wasn't my best day a few weeks ago here, as you could see, you know. And I had been losing blood. I didn't know how it was happening. But they found the cause. But the cool thing, this is the cool thing, is that over the last several weeks, with no blood infusion or anything like that or transfusion, my hemoglobin, like the sign of strength, I guess it would be, has maintained. When I was here, it was around 7.7. It's gone up. The last three times they checked, over the last several weeks, 9.4, 9.6, 9.5. And that's without any help. It's just happening. How many know God Almighty is at work? The Lord is at work, right? And but, you know, it's been a steady confession. Sometimes I haven't felt anything, but God has done his part, and he's doing his part.
Amen.
And we're standing on the word, and we're rejoicing in it. And that's our testimony. Hallelujah to God.
I wanted to recommend this book to everyone. It's The Power of Imagination. And we use our imagination. So Dave and I would be having communion, and we'd sit quietly and just thinking about his blood work. Yeah. Numbers were going to change. They were going to come up. Blood pressure was going to remain steady. All other fluids are going to be normal. I know you're believing big time. Raise your hand right now. Versi, wave your hand. There she sits, miracle of God.
Yes.
Because she received one kidney or two kidneys? One kidney. Said you'll be on dialysis the rest of her life. She said, no, I'm not. She's not on dialysis.
Beautiful.
Out of your own mouth. You can use your imagination. Yeah. I didn't say that there weren't facts. It's a fact. You know, you had the situation. But Jesus is the fact-finding business, and he gloriously gives us all of the answers in his word to use our imagination. I just want to read one little thing out of the book. What? I was going through this last night again, and it was such a good paragraph. It says in Womack's book, brothers and sisters, you don't have to fall apart like a $2 suitcase every time the winds of circumstance blow in your life. This life is not all there is. If the doctor told me I was going to die, I wouldn't let it rock my world. Instead of me saying that, I would just say that's a lie, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives in me. If death could not hold Jesus in the grave, it has no power to put me there permanently. But if worse came to worse and I didn't receive healing, I'd just go to heaven. I'd see Jesus face to face, and I'd be like him. But, you know, his journey is not finished. Your journey is not finished. And we're going to continue to speak about the resurrection that God, you know, we have so many things in our lives that need to be resurrected.
Yeah.
A lot of dead stuff going on. Anybody got some dead stuff going on in your life? you can have, I'm going to read this. And then you can have it right back. I want to give you the definition of resurrection.
Good.
The event in the Bible talks about dead people. They're going to be brought back to life on the final judgment. We all know that. But the definition that I like of resurrection, the act of causing something that has ended or has been forgotten or lost to exist again, to be used again. God is in the resurrecting business. Death of a job, a business. Oops. Step on toes now. Families, you know, family's not good. We've got a lot of separations there. Some of them, you know, by choice, they move away from families. You know, our kids can be such a blessing to us, or they can step on our toes. They step on our hearts. But we have to be focused on the end work. We were focused on the end work with my dad. You know, he was such, and sorry, but he was a hell raiser in life. And he did not live for Jesus, but at 86, he gave his life to the Lord. God wants to resurrect those things that are dead in your life. And I wanted to give this one example. Just a few weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago, you know how the weather's been up and down, up and down. And I was waiting because I had made up my mind in December. I'm going to take all these trees we have in our yard that we've planted, two apple trees, two plum trees, a pear tree, a fig tree, blackberries and blueberries. So I'd made up my mind because they just kind of looked there and they were more than half dead. And I read this article again. It said the severe pruning back is what will bring the dead tree to life. And boy, I got out there and I was like, ouch. I mean, I gave it to all those limbs and all that. They are fuller than they've ever been.
Yeah.
And the leaves have just come out, so we're going to see if there's going to be fruit. Well, we don't like the owies in life, do we? And what is it in your life that needs to be resurrected? What is the it? It could be family. It could be job. But I say mostly it's families that can break our hearts. They can cause us to bend over and just be, you know, completely wound up and so disappointed in life and situations. But God can bring resurrection life. Just like Jennifer Costell, if it never happens, I'm going to go on and serve. I don't have it in my life, but with her, she says, I'm going to go on and serve God regardless. And she told us recently, all of her family, she's in Wilmington, they live 30 miles away from her, and she has not seen them since she's 19 years old. they disowned her because of all the abuse. And she was in, you know, a cult and Christian cult and all that. But she said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve God. And that's what we want to tell you. Yes. Resurrect the things that are dead in your life and declare that you are going to live and not die. And I'm talking about living and not dying spiritually.
Amen. Good stuff. How many like stories? Resurrection stories. There was a guy in our life, we knew him many, many years ago. His name was Eddie Dobson. And he was an interesting guy. He would prophesy the word, and he didn't do it quietly. I mean, you could hear, it was like reverberating off the walls, you know. Whatever he did it with everything he had. He was a Korean War veteran. His wife got saved before he did. She told him about Word of Faith in New Orleans, where we were. So he comes in, makes an appointment with Brother Green. Pastor Green winds up leading him to Christ. But in the process, he said, Eddie, let's get down on our knees and pray. And Eddie, I think, came out of a Catholic background, but he didn't really know the Lord. And so Eddie said, well, I'll try, Pastor. I'll try to get down. He said, I've got a lot of metal in my body from the Korean War and everything, but I'll do my best. So Brother Green helped him to get down on his knees. It was a process. And they started praying, and all of a sudden, Eddie starts screaming. He said, my back is on fire. He had metal all in his back, and God was burning it out. That's resurrection life. As he called on Jesus, as he listened to the words of Jesus, those words of Jesus were what? They were resurrection life, right? They were spirit, and they were life, and they quickened him. And he rose up, and he became a mighty prophet of God for years to come.
He went back to the VA hospital, and they retook the x-rays before, after the touch of Jesus. Amen.
This is like a fresh revelation for me, the next one I want to share with you. Number two, receive a fresh revelation of how to release God's blessing. How many want that and need that? Huh? We all need a fresh revelation from the Word of God concerning this. So this is really interesting. The Holy Spirit led me into, he said, I want to show you something, David. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, they call them, they have the same exact rendering. And I'm going to read one of them in Matthew. But when you get to John 6, it's different. There are four accounts of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. Those accounts are exactly the same in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, different in John. So let's look, first of all, at Matthew 14. Then he commanded them, because I'm going somewhere with this. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, say, he blessed, he broke, and he gave the loaves to the disciples, to the multitudes. It was being multiplied. Now, that phrase, he blessed, broke, and gave, is the same in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But when you get to John, it's different. And as I say, I'm going somewhere with this. So let's look at John 6:11. All right? And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, didn't say he broke and blessed, when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. The Holy Spirit said to me, how many know we need the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible? Man, if you don't have the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible, you're in trouble, right? Because you're left with your own ingenuity. Holy Spirit said to me, here's how you release the blessing. It's through thanksgiving. I went, whoa. How many know that those accounts don't contradict each other, but they what? Complement each other. And so when we begin to just give thanks to the Lord, it releases the blessing of God. Jesus did the same thing when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Guy was dead 4 days. He stank. Lean over and tell your neighbor, he really stunk. Stink, stank, stunk, right? But The Bible said, just before Jesus did the miracle, he said, Father, I thank you. And I was in a, I have to tell you, this is about a month or so ago, and I was in a time of just waiting on the Lord, and I just began to tear up and cry. I'm not a cry. I've never been one. I'm a laugher. I'm a rah-rah person. You know, I've always been that way. But I was weeping not out of fear. Ina didn't beat me up and none of that stuff, okay? But I was, it was tears of gratitude, tears of thankfulness for what the Lord had been doing in my life, right? And so, and God said, I'm moving you into a new commissioning. He began to talk to me about that. It's kind of like when Isabel gave Ina and I that fresh word. And so, if you want to see the blessing of God released in your life, be thankful. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to be thankful. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's look at the fill in here. So what is the revelation? Thankfulness releases the blessing of God. Thankfulness. Lean over and tell your neighbor, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you, baby. A few years ago, we were doing outreach after Sunday service, and we would meet in the back. A bunch of us would meet in the back. We'd seek the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would give us the place to go and maybe the particular thing we were looking for. And then we would compare notes, and we would go out by twos. And I had a brother with me. And I said, bro, what's the revelation, God? Where are we supposed to go? He said, we need to go to Burger King. Okay. Well, my revelation was a person's going to get healed in their back. And I said, so we're going to go to Burger King. Somebody's going to get healed their back in Burger King. So we go there. We ordered a Coke so we wouldn't be out of line. But how many know that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ain't nobody in Burger King? So we're waiting there. You know, I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what's going on? What are we supposed to look at here? And the Lord said, go, the lady behind the counter, she got a back issue. You go talk to her. So I got up, took my Coke, and I said, dear, how are you doing? She was, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I said, I told her the story, how we got here. And then I said, could I ask you a question? She said, okay. I said, you got a back issue? She said, I sure do. She said, I've had surgery and I'm still in a lot of pain. I said, can we pray with you? See that guy over there? I said, we want to pray with you. We're from the church across the way. You sure can? She said, let me finish up doing a little cleanup here. So she did, and she came over, and she said, you know, I just want to thank you for hearing for God for me. She was a believer. And she said, it's been 6 weeks since I've had surgery, and I'm in as much pain as I was before. I said, okay, do we have your permission to put our hands on your back? And I'm going to do it in an untoward way, but can we do that? She said, of course. So we lightly laid hands on her back, and we started to speak the word and give thanks. We were given thanks for healing this lady. All of a sudden, she starts screaming. She said, there's a fire in my back, a fire. I said, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, he's burning that issue out, whatever it is. He's burning it out. And she's crying and everything. She gets down on her knees. She said, I haven't been able to do this. I haven't been able to do this. So she said, where's your church? Where's your church? I told her. She said, can I come and give thanks? I want to come next Sunday. Can I come and meet with a group? And she did. She met with us and gave thanks for it. But how many know this is real stuff and it really works? Praise God. Yeah, go for it.
I wanted Diane to come up. I have something for her to share. We're talking about resurrection life, so and our imagination. And I just wanted you to give that testimony about how your sight was resurrected when you were a little girl. And also, Dave and I have been doing this. Ronnie and Roseanne had been praying with us, and so I have pictures of healthy organs for Dave. And so we've been looking at them, putting before the healthy organs so that you see that instead of the diseased. So this may be gross to you, but me and Diane, we talk about surgeries and all. She's a surgery nurse. And it's a good thing, you know, that you have the healthy cellular organs in your body. But yours was with the eyes. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was about 3.5, 4 years old, and I had chemical burns to my eyes. We were mixing cement in a wheelbarrow, building onto our house, and the cement flew up into my eyes in the lime. And immediately, my dad swooped me up, ran me inside, held me under the kitchen sink faucet, running cold water over my eyes. And, you know, you don't remember a lot of memories from when you're that young, but I remember every single detail. I remember everything. It was, you know, at the end of the summer, near fall. I remember, you know, hearing birds outside. I remember every detail. And my dad putting me under that cold water. My mom had just gone back home, and she came into this chaos in the kitchen. Immediately called poison control. They said, get her to the ER right now. Just go, you know, and we'll call ahead. And they called ahead, and they had a team waiting for me as soon as I got there, ran out, because the lime is, it just burns. And, you know, once it burns, you can't do anything. It destroys, and it's gone. So they were out in the parking lot waiting for us, got me in the ER, started, you know, flushing my eyes. I went through a couple of surgeries just to clean out my eyes and make sure everything was out and rinse it. The doctor said I would be blind. I would never see again. You know, I mean, I remember those words, and telling my mom. I remember laying in the hospital bed, listening to Sesame Street, trying to imagine what Big Bird looked like, because I couldn't see Big Bird, but I could hear him. And so I would use my mind, and I would imagine things about what was going on. I remember getting turned around in my bed, not knowing which way, you know, where I was going. I remember coming home, laying on the couch, not being able to walk around the house because I didn't know, I couldn't see anything. And never being going from seeing to having no sight at all is very scary, especially for a child. Very scary, because you're not used to where things are. And I remember going back, getting my bandages off, and being able to see out of one eye. And the doctor's like, wow, it's a miracle. You know what? You got sight in one eye, but you'll never get it back in the other one. The scar tissue is so bad, you'll never have sight out of your right eye. And he's like, when my sight came back, he was like, I became his miracle baby. He took me to all his conferences. Well, my file, not me, but my file, to all his conferences all over the world, because he would present the treatment and everything he did to save my sight. But he goes, it's a miracle. He goes, it wasn't me that did it. It was a miracle. And, you know, and he said, but you know what? You will have to have a cornea transplant. So I'm now 49 years old. Over 45 years ago, he said, you know, I had to have a cornea transplant. I've not had to have a cornea transplant. I still have scar tissue. It has not grown in 45 years. It stayed the same. And half the time, I don't even need to wear my glasses because my eyesight has actually improved. So, and I believe that one day I won't even have to wear these glasses because my eyesight will be perfect, and no little scar tissue is going to keep me from that.
Beautiful. All right, so wait, who has eye problems? Raise your hand, or you know someone. I know we have some blinded eyes, some friends of ours. All right, so just as an act of faith, you put your hand on your eyes, and Diane, let's pray that prayer of faith for the eyes to be healed.
Lord, I just thank you right now that as we stand on this ground in your house, in your presence, Lord, that your healing power is flowing through each and everybody in this house. And right now we just stand on the word that you said we are healed, we are whole, we are complete. And I pray that everything, and I command every cell around the eye, around the nerves, glaucoma to go away, to be cleared up. Miraculous, supernatural manifestations of eyes, of nerves, of clearing up of everything. Cataracts disappear right now in Jesus' name.
Yes,
glaucoma
Jesus.
Cleaned up.
Yes, yes.
Retinas will not be detached. No scarring, no blood vessels including anywhere. Everything is perfect the way you created it. And we thank you. We praise you on this resurrection day that our eyes are resurrected and
Amen.
We are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could go on and on with the resurrection power, but this will be quick. I was healed when I was, how old were you, Diane? Four? Yes. So I was healed when I was four of epilepsy, grand mal seizures, my first girl cousins. They still have issues. I prayed for them all these years. It was a curse that was brought into the family by, what's that terrible stuff? Huh? Masonry. Yeah. But God broke the curse. Hallelujah. Also, Kimberly and Lorraine, raise your hands. Kimberly completely healed when the doctor, you know, and here's, the doctors have to do what they got to do, okay? And you're going, bad, you know. And she said, the Lord told her, don't take the fear. So she didn't take the fear. Then Lorraine had an incurable disease. I remember it's kind of a long name or something. Sarcoidosis, yeah. And there's no cure for that. And how many years has it been? A lot. Okay. So for all of us, and also our brother-in-law, Virgil, when he heard about Dave being sick, he says, just remember, don't take the fear. I said, we know it already, mm-hmm. and we're not fearful with it. We know that our God is in control. This is 3 years ago. You know, he's had the stroke. He'll come and speak for us probably in June. And so he was reminding us last week, and he said, you remember my diagnosis? And Janie didn't even tell him for about 10 days. With all the issues he had with the stroke, and he went in for just kind of a healthy checkup, and the doctor said, Janie, your husband has stage 4 lung cancer. Like, what? He's never smoked? He's never, you know, what are you talking? All right, so she kept this to herself for about 7 days, and she finally shared it with Virgil. He says, I'm not going to take the fear of it. I'm not going to do it. And they just begin to apply the word of the Lord and use their imagination. Now, remember, there's imagination in the world. That's the counterfeit. You know that. Here's the imagination of the word, yes, of the Lord. Read the word of the Lord and sit there and think about it. Whatever you need, your family, health, your job, your situation. You know, we're always, how long are we going to have problems on earth? How long? Until he comes again.
Yeah.
You know, like that old song I sung years ago. I'm sorry. Jesus says, I beg your pardon. I didn't promise you a rose garden. He was the rose that was crushed for us. So take his healing, and that he had already been crushed for us that we might not have to suffer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, anyway, the diagnosis was canceled.
Beautiful. 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 Okay, number three, another key to releasing resurrection life is resting in Jesus' faith. I want to put that emphasis where it belongs. It is resting in Jesus' faith. Tell your neighbor, I have the faith of Jesus on the inside of me. Well, Pastor Dave, I don't know about that. We all have our own faith, and you need to prove it to me from the Word. Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at Galatians 2. 16 and 20. All right. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ. So when you get born again, you get his faith. I mean, no, that's powerful. Say, when I am born again, the Holy Spirit imparts the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the saving faith. It's his faith, right? Boy, he covers all the bases. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by works of the law. We'll talk about that in a minute. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's works of the law basically is you try to do it all yourself. Well, the devil comes along and says, well, you have only confessed 3 straight days. You need to go. You need to go at least 4 more days to make it 7. That's God's perfect number, and you need to put fasting with that. And you need to do this, and you need to do that. How many know that's the works of the law in a sense, where you're trying to earn? Oh, if I do enough, God will have to do this. No, he's already done it. Lean over and tell your neighbor, he's already done it. Say it's finished. It's done, baby. All right. So let's look at Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? The faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. Say, it's his faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you believe that because you have the faith of the Son of God on the inside of you that nothing is impossible? Lean over and tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Nothing is impossible for you. All right. Another story I want to share with you. How many know little kids can have that kind of faith? They can. I've never turned away a little kid wanting to pray for me. You know, seriously. We were in Toronto a number of years ago, and we made a friend, Peter Jackson. Some of you who've been around here a long time would remember Peter and Heather Jackson. And they were on staff in Toronto as evangelists. And anyway, but Peter was a cool guy. I mean, he had a great sense of humor. And he told me this story. He said, we were having a conference for pastors. And he said all these pastors showed up, and he said they wanted to get as much prayer as possible. And he said, I had this one guy come, this one pastor, and he said, I mean, he looked the part, man. He had a three-piece suit on and held his Bible high and all that stuff, you know. And he said, would you pray for me so that I want more of God. I want more of God. And Peter said, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I looked up in the balcony, and he said, here come all these little kids from a time of soaking in the Holy Spirit. They had this giant, they had a room about this size upstairs, and people would just lay out on the floor and soak for an hour or something like that to worship music. And so that's what happened. So they saw all these little kids coming down the stairs. And so Peter looked at one of them and he said, young man, come here, come here. So he put his arm around him. He said, do you see this pastor? He would like you to pray for him. Well, he said, I look at the pastor's face and he was like, the thought was, how dare you let this little guy pray for me? Do you know who I am? Yeah. How many know God delights to just, yeah. So Peter said, come on, sir, come on down. I'm going to let this little guy lay hands. And he said, son, just put your hand on his chest. Put your hand. So the little guy goes up, you know, kind of timid. He puts his hand on his chest. The guy goes flying back. He's out cold in the Holy Ghost, man. You wanted a touch, dude? You got one, right? Okay. So, yeah. Praise God. So, faith, the faith of Christ is. Okay, God's faith never wavers. Think about that when you're facing something. God's faith never wavers. Our confidence is in his faith, which is in us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. How do we know we have believed? Because Jesus is believing through us. How many know Jesus believes every word the Father gave him to bring, and he gave to us? So do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They were trying to do it themselves, trying to be justified themselves. Okay. Then let's look at Mark 11:22. Very interesting. This is Young's Living Bible, I think it's called, or translation. In Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith of God. Have faith of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to impart that to you. God's kind of faith. He wants to impart that to you. Tell your neighbor, you have God's kind of faith. It's already on the inside of you. That's why you can rest in his promises, right? He spoke the promises, and he's wanting to fulfill them through us. He wants to make it easy for us, all right? So I say this, that is the literal translation in the Greek language of Mark 11:22. We receive his faith and not our faith, that we may that we go on in life. Let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 25. Jesus teaches his disciples what is necessary in order to experience the power of God. The call of Jesus is simple. Have faith in God, or literally have the faith of God, and believe that's what you've received. So, and then we just finish by saying, believe that he can do the impossible when we go to him in faith. So go ahead.
Amen. So let's all say this together, starting with verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. I want to just say this about mountains, because mountains are important in our life. You know, Jesus loved the mountains. We like the mountains. We like the beach, too. He loved the beach. He liked to go to the beach to get away from just the everyday of people. And, of course, we do that, too. But listen to what I found. This is amazing. Mountains are the world's water towers, providing 60 to 80% of all fresh water. It's the resource for all of our planet. At least half of the world's population depends on mountain ecosystem services to survive. Not only water, but also food and energy. It comes from the mountains. Just think about all the mountains on the earth. And so I was going to remind you of this when I found this interesting statement. When people love mountains, there's a name for it. It's called orophile. Can you say that? Orophile. That means you're a mountain lover. And so we love the mountains. I know Tim and Paula love the mountains because they were born and raised up in the mountains. That means you can't get enough of the view. You can't get enough of the mountain climbing. And I'm an orophile. Well, I don't like to climb mountains too much, but I like to enjoy them and rest. But Jesus was at the top of the mountain when he heard from his Father to rest. Rest in my word. Rest in my goodness. And be thankful. In everything, be thankful.
Amen. And the last one, what voids this? What would cancel that out? Trusting in what we have done. Let's look at Romans 4:14. We don't want that. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. So, I mean, we need to rest in what he's already done. We already have enough faith. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you already have enough faith. Because the Word of God tells us that. So we can rest in that fact. Right? And enjoy life. Praise the Lord. Because your life is hidden with God in Christ. Beautiful. Amen. All right. So I'd like the altar team to come down. We just want to pray for you if you have any kind of particular needs of any kind. You already have the faith of Christ. If you're a believer, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you already have enough faith. You don't have to struggle to get it, right? This isn't white-knuckle Christianity, okay? Have I done enough? He's done enough. Praise God. So they're here. They will agree with you. The